I'm going to be quick today because we want to give you lots of time for discussion. We thought this is a really interesting passage. We thought what we might do, especially because this week is Think Week, we'll give you the opportunity to think and to read it and try and think about it yourself and talk about on our tables what we think that Jesus is trying to say to us through this passage today. You might be really confused. You might go, why does Jesus want a camel to go through a needle? You know, why does Jesus like needles? Hopefully that will become clear. If not, feel free to ask questions and discuss on your tables. This is one of my favourite stories in the Bible, and hopefully you will be able to love and appreciate this story as well by the end of today. What we'll do is, so I'll give a short talk now, about maybe 10 minutes long, then we'll go to your tables for discussion, and then at the end I'll answer any questions that your table struggled with or weren't sure what the answer was, and then I'll have a very quick summary and conclusion at the end. The main topic of today's story, if you didn't work it out, was money. Jesus talks a lot about money, and all through the stories of Jesus, you'll see him talking to people about money. If you think that money is only important now, well, if you look back through history, you'll realize that money's been important for a very long time. Money is necessary to eat. We all need money to eat and buy clothes. And there's lots of people, and I'm sure you know people, who want more than what they need. They want a lot more than what they need. And this has been happening for thousands and thousands of years. People who are falling in love with money. Now, it may sound strange to fall in love, like I fall in love with a boy or a girl or maybe a cat or a dog. I don't fall in love with money. But that's what we want to see today, that Jesus is warning us against a love of money. And instead, Jesus wants us to have freedom. He wants us to have freedom from the love of money. We'll look at our story today, and we'll see what Jesus says at the start of the story. You can read along in your Bibles you have with you, or you can on the screen, up to you. It's exactly the same. Before I do that, if there's any hard words, I'm sure there's a few words in there you weren't really sure of, maybe persecute or adultery or those sort of things. Hopefully all the words you'll need to know are on the inside left of your handout. And if you like taking notes, you can follow along the headings. We're up to the point, the commandments. Okay, so we'll read through the first part of today's story. As he was setting out... which version do I have here? I've got a different version here. I'll read this version. This is the right version, right? This is NIV? Okay, I think I put the wrong version in my talk, so I'll read this one. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honour your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. See, what does Jesus say to the man? Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not defraud, honour your father and mother. Do any of these sound familiar? If they don't, I'll let you know. These are from another part of the Bible called the Ten Commandments. I'm not sure if you've heard of the Ten Commandments before, but they're very commonly known. Most people in at least Australia would know what the Ten Commandments mean. May not know what they are, and they may not obey them, but they would at least know what the Ten Commandments mean. And Jesus here is referring to commandments number 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Now, I'm not going to spend too much time on them, but Jesus is telling you, telling this man, well, you need to obey these commandments. And the man says, yes, I've obeyed all those commandments all my life. And maybe some of you might be thinking, yes, I'm like that man. I've obeyed all these commandments all my life. What does Jesus say after that? Jesus says, you lack one thing. Sell all that you have. Sorry. Go sell everything and you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. What Jesus is saying here is that, well, you lack one thing. You've kept those other five commandments, but you lack one. You haven't followed commandment number one, which is, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. For this man, he wasn't following the true God. He was following the God of money. How do we know money was his God? Because it says at the last bit, at this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Why did he go away sad? Because he thought that he was right with God. But instead, he wasn't, because money was his God. And he couldn't give up his God in order to follow the true God. Which brings me to point two, God and money. Why does Jesus spend so much time talking about money? I think Jesus sums this up the best in a different part of the Bible, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, verse 13, on the slide. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. See, Jesus knew exactly what we think about money. Jesus knew that money was not just something that we needed to buy food and clothes. He knew that people wanted money. They loved money. They loved it so much that money was their God. Because of this, Jesus compared their love of money with a servant who tries to serve two masters. Now, none of us here are servants, but we can understand this idea that Jesus is talking about. You can't do both. It's impossible to serve both. You could try and serve two masters, but the best you could do is maybe serve one master half the time and the other master the other half of the time, in which case you wouldn't really be a servant, would you? You'd be half of a servant. No, it's not possible to serve God or money. You can only serve one. Is this true? How do I know it's true? Well, I know it's true because, one, because Jesus says it, and two, I've seen it in my life. My best friend, he was very similar to me. We were growing up, we were reading the Bible, we were going to church, but over time, he started to fall more and more in love with money. And he wanted what money could do for him. He wanted the power. He wanted the things that he could do with money. He didn't have time or the energy for God, and eventually he had to choose. And he chose to serve money. See, that's what's wrong with the man in our story today. He loved money more than God. How do I know that? Because when Jesus asked him to give the money away, he became sad, didn't he? He couldn't. See, that's how you can tell if you love something more than something else. If you love your car, say you have a car, and you love your girlfriend or your boyfriend, and they say to you, well, I think you love your car too much. Either you have to give away the car or you have to give away me. What would you choose? Whichever one you choose would let you know which one is more important. Now, God's not telling us to give up our boyfriend or our girlfriend or our car, but you understand that God is saying you cannot serve two masters, and the one you choose, that tells you which one is more important to you. The young man realized that he loved his money more than God. So point number three, the camel and the needle. Now you might be thinking, what is Jesus talking about here? We'll read this again and hopefully we'll understand it. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." See, what about us? What if we have money? What if we have a lot of money? If we're rich, does that mean that I have to become a camel and go through the eye of a needle in order to get into the kingdom of God, in order to go to heaven? Well, of course not. See, Jesus again is using hyperbole. If you were here last week, you would have seen our long discussion on hyperbole, which was the one where we ended with the woman who was so fat, she fell into the Grand Canyon and got stuck. Right? We all remember that joke. Okay? That's hyperbole. See, Jesus used hyperbole last week to say that we should chop off our hand to stop us doing the wrong thing. Now, of course, we know that Jesus doesn't want us to chop off our hand, but he's using that to show us, to tell us how serious that was and how serious he was. Jesus today he's not saying that a camel, which is as big as a horse, if you're not sure what a camel is, it's an animal as big as a horse, does not have to go through the eye of a needle in order to, we don't have to become a camel and go through an eye of a needle in order to get into the kingdom of God. It's impossible. We know it's impossible. What does Jesus say? With man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. So is Jesus saying here that God can make a camel go through the eye of a needle? I don't know. Maybe you on your tables can discuss that. But the point is, that's not exactly what Jesus is trying to say. I think he's saying that it's impossible for all of us to enter the kingdom of God. But because of God, God makes it possible for us to enter. Now, I know that may sound a bit hard, and I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to leave it for you to think about. Is this what God wants us to do or not? We're going to have about 10, 15 minutes for you to discuss on your tables. You've got 7 questions on your piece of paper. Obviously, you don't have to get through those questions. You might only get through one. You might only get through two. That's okay. We'll spend about 10 minutes, and then we'll come back and we'll quickly summarize. It's a really good question when it talks about the rich. The Bible talks a lot about the rich. And I think what people like to do, no matter what country they're in, is we always like to go, yes, yes, those bad rich people. Yes, they're really rich. I'm not rich. It's only someone who's got more than me. That's what rich is. Do you know what I mean? Like, we always like to think that I'm not rich. It's Bill Gates is rich. Right? Or maybe the football players in England, right? They're rich. Okay, I'm not rich, right? I've only got one car, or I've only got one house, or I've only got one phone, right? But they've got 5 houses and they've got a car in every country they go to, right? They're rich. And I don't think that Jesus here is talking about whether or not we have a car or a phone or a house. Because really, if you think about in the whole world, where are we in terms of the scale of money in the world? Right? Are we in the middle? Do we have an average amount of money? Do we have less than average? Do we have more than average? Who wants to guess? Anyone? Yeah, we're the top 10, top 5. There are probably a few of us here in the top 1% of the people in the world. Okay? So if we in the top 1% think that we're not rich, then really we're talking about the top half of a percent or the top quarter of a percent. So we're saying that 5.5 billion people are poor and maybe 1 million people are rich or 2 million people are rich. Do you know what I mean? So we have to be careful what our definition of rich is. But here, Jesus, I don't think Jesus is talking about, he's not setting a scale of rich, right? Jesus doesn't say, oh, if you earn more than $5 a day, you're rich and you're going to go to hell. Okay? If you earn $4 or less, then you're okay. Yep, you're going to go to the kingdom, right? No, Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus he never talks about an amount of money. So to answer your question, he's not referring to who is rich, but he's referring to where is your heart? Is your heart towards God and what God has done for you? Or is your heart towards money and what money has done for you or what money can do for you? Does that answer your question? No? Maybe I'll come back to you after, during lunch. Any other questions? Okay, I'll quickly try and sum up our talk today. So the big idea is not that we need to be poor, like I just said. Jesus isn't saying here that we all need to be poor. We all need to throw away all our clothes, just keep one t-shirt and one pair of jeans, and stop studying, and turn into a camel and go through the eye of a needle. No, Jesus isn't saying that. But he's saying we need to choose who or what we are going to serve, who or what we are going to love. See, Jesus has shown here that it is not possible to follow God and money. You will love one or you'll love the other. See, looking at the story, all of Jesus' other followers, they were happy, right? Remember the ones at the end? We've given up everything, we've followed you. And they're happy, they have joy, because they realized that Jesus was God. They realized that Jesus was worth following. They realized that he was worth giving up anything for. But Jesus isn't calling all of us to give up all our money right now or ever. But he does call us to give up anything which might get in the way of us and God. Anything that might get in the way of us following Jesus. The rich young man went away sad because he had great wealth. So don't get caught up in the deceit of wealth. Don't go after money. Don't let it ruin your relationships or with your friends or your family. Try and look after people with your money. God wants us to be free. He wants us to have freedom. But if you're a slave to money, then money is controlling you. But God wants you to be free. God wants you to have money. He wants you to enjoy money. He wants you to enjoy your life. But he wants you to keep God as number one because he knows that's what true freedom is. Lastly, don't be upset. Don't be sad because you think God wants to take everything away from you. Have joy. Why? Because God can do anything. Like Jesus said, through God, all things are possible. See, our story today doesn't tell us, but we know that God has forgiven us for all the times in our life that we've disobeyed his commandments. Remember the commandments in the story. We know we've all disobeyed those commandments at least once in our life. And all the other times when we just haven't put God as number one. God knows all the things we've done wrong and the times we've done things not right and the times we've rejected him, and he's willing to forgive us because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. The most important thing to remember today is that anything is possible to God, and that includes making us right with God, no matter what we've done in our lives, whether we think we're really good like the man in our story or whether we're really bad. It all doesn't matter. We all need to be right with God, and the only way we can do that is through Jesus, because of Jesus. One of the questions there, who can enter the kingdom of God? How do we enter the kingdom of God? It's only through Jesus' death on the cross that means we are forgiven, that we can enter the kingdom of God. And that's only possible through God. Otherwise, it's like us trying to get a camel through the eye of a needle. We know that's impossible. But that's how amazing and loving God is. I'm just going to quickly pray, and then we're going to have our announcements. Dear God, we thank you for the story today of the rich young man who was very good. Had his whole life he had obeyed you, obeyed your commandments, and done the things that he was supposed to do, except that he loved money. Lord, we know that all of us, in a way, we all love money. We all want to have more money. We all want more than we need, and we ask your forgiveness for the times we've done that. But we also pray that as we go away from today, that we won't just think that we need to give away our money and that will make you happy, but we know that We have all fallen short of what you want us to do. We have all disobeyed you. We have all sinned against you. And just like what Jesus said, it is impossible for us to enter the kingdom of God. It's like a camel going through the eye of a needle. But we thank you that because you are God, that it is possible, and that it is possible through your Son, Jesus, and what he did for us, dying on the cross. We pray that today we would know this, we would understand this, that we would know that it's not through what we do, but it is through what Jesus has done, knowing that it is possible for us to be right with you because of what Jesus has done. We thank you for this today. We thank you for the food that you are going to give us today as well. Thank you that you do provide us with food, that you do provide us with a place to live, you provide us with a university to study in, and you give us so many great things. And we give you so much thanks. We ask all this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.